Good morning and welcome to one and all. I do appreciate your presence. We do have visitors. We're grateful for you being with us, and we hope and pray that you will be able to glean some things from this like I have in preparing this. Looks like the battery's low in this thing. Did you leave this thing on, Ken? One says on, one says off. How come the battery light's on? For all those who are here, this is a subject that has plagued family for years, mine and everybody else's. And it's changed a lot in the last few years. I'll put it here somewhere. You let me know if this thing's working, Chuck, or if I need to flip it the other way. Can you hear? Good. Sorry. So don't think that I'm preaching only to you, because I'm preaching to myself and to everybody else around here that's had to deal with this subject called gambling. It is one of those things that is a plague, and I'll use that word for that, gambling. I saw some of my family members throw everything they had away on gambling, and their family suffered greatly for that in the past. And yet, when they got older, the one even was ready to file bankruptcy in the 70s. So I know a little bit about this subject and the pain that goes with it, and the people that you see that pain has to be dealt with. Certainly our government and the ones around us that are proponents of gambling will put forth a different light than I'll put forth this morning. And I want you to think about what I'm about to say, and if you should have any questions when I get done, please feel free to question me on this subject. This is one of them things where people will say, well, gambling, the word is not in the Bible, so God can't be against it. And they twist different things, which we'll talk about, and they put a different light on it to try to make it look like we're doing a lot of good. We're doing good for senior citizens. We're doing good for our schools. We're doing good for this. We're doing good for that. It is a way of making all these things happen. So as we go through this, I would like for you to look at this with an open mind, and the pain that has caused different people over their lifetime, and certainly not something that we want to have to deal with if we can help it. If you should be tangled up in gambling, please don't think that I'm centering you out, because I'm not. I'm trying to give you forth an idea that God is not pleased with that, and some of the things that you're going to have to deal with if you continue down that path and that thing called gambling. Certainly, when I was a young person growing up, it was not legalized. It mainly in our state and the states around us, it was something that was done in the clubs and stuff around that were private. And most people didn't see it unless you were part of that club or whatever it was that put forth this thing called gambling. So as we think about that and all that's going on with gambling, we need to understand that. So please understand that I have seen firsthand what it can do. Webster says that the practice or activity of betting, the practice of risking money or other stakes in a game of bet or bet. Dictionary.com says the activity or practice of playing at a game of chance for money or other stakes. Three parts of gambling that has to be there for it to be considered gambling. Consideration, an uncertain event such as a horse race, a dog race, anything else you can think of. There, gambling has been around for a long time, which we'll see in just a little bit, and all the things that are going on with it. And there has to be a wager, a bet, and then a prize of money or merchandise at the end. That is gambling. So when we think about all these things and going on, those three things have to be considered when we're gambling. When did gambling start? As we can see, the archaeologists have found records that in 2300 BC, that in China, there was gambling. And gambling was used as a tax in certain places, from what I can read, to help build the Great Wall of China. And they would, instead of imposing a tax on the people, they put forth this idea of getting this gambling event out there to help fund that building of the Great Wall in China. And also, back there in 2000 BC, there are records found of the Egyptians gambling in the lotteries in the 13th century of this country were to pay for infrastructure products, the projects that were out there. And then the early gambling in the United States. And as I read this, I go, wow. We went from lotteries and all kinds of gambling you could think to in about 1830, the lotteries were outlawed, which you'll see in the next slide. And the other gaming and stuff like that had been outlawed for a period of time in the late 1800s. And into the early 1900s, it was in the clubs and things that were illegal gambling and things like that. And all the things were going on. In 1960, lotteries, that ban was on lotteries, were lifted. And it started trickling out into the different states that were there. And we have what we have today with all the lotteries that are going on and the things that are out there. There were bans on all forms of gambling, as I mentioned, and the removal of bans on gambling. And I think one of the things that kind of gets everybody is that they're bright lights. It's fancy. There's a lot of things you can win, and they put up that hype that you can win and you can become rich. You're very careful about how they word that. And we have the slot machines. We have beautiful young ladies and handsome young men. And the reason why you see mostly beautiful young ladies for the men in the audience is men are the ones that are the most susceptible to becoming a gambling addict. So they put forth their most effort for the male gender. Not that the females cannot, but it seems like the males kind of got that more on the upper end than the ladies do. So, and what we're after is the money and the big chance to win and get rich quick at the expense of someone else and all the things that goes on with that. And now we have the lotteries. The lotteries come out and started out one thing and another, and now they're on your phone, they're everywhere. And one other thing that I do not have on here is raffles. And I want to mention this for a minute because I got to thinking about this as I put this together. Raffles, I don't remember a raffle when I was a kid in school. I don't remember one. I don't remember ever being asked as a child to go around and sell raffle tickets for some project in school. And all the things that goes on today and how that we feel uneasy with the raffling tickets and all the things that are going on, the raffles, and all the things we put there, and it comes into people that like to gamble, it comes into the PTA meetings and everything else. Well, this is a great way to put forth what we want to do and how we want to do it. Everybody wants to buy a raffle ticket, right? And win some great thing, whether it be a car, a truck, a gun, a TV, whatever, and all the things goes on with that. And to send our little troopers out to sell those tickets because we can't turn down a little one, right? And to understand that and what we're after. Satan is good at what he does and how he does it. And any form of gambling, it causes us much grief and much pain and all that goes on. And not only that, but it also causes your family's pain and suffering because a lot of times you lose the money that has to pay the bills, put the food on the table, and all the other things that goes along with it. And all these gambling things, I will mention this about many of the other religious organizations that are out there in our country, and you will be surprised if you read up on this gambling situation that we have, that many of the ones that's even around us, very close and near to us, are dead set against gambling. And why? Because of the evils that goes associated with it that we're going to talk about, and all the other things that are out there that cause pain and suffering for everybody. And it doesn't take long to figure that out. As I was talking to a gentleman at work years ago, and some of the things were hitting Pennsylvania, it already hit West Virginia, And we were talking, and I said, yeah, and I said, yeah, gambling is a short-term fix to long-term problems. And it is. Well, we say we got better schools, we got better this, we got better that. I will not live probably long enough to see it, but some of you younger people will. And all the things that goes along with gambling and the problems it causes. It is not some little innocent thing that will not affect you if you get tangled up in it. And we have bingo, and then online betting is another one that's come out recently, and it's kind of not in every state yet. Bingos, that was passed. That was a special law passed for churches, certain churches, to raise money back in the 1930s so that they could play bingo to raise money for that different religious organization, if you would. All right? Online sports betting. A lot of people get caught up in that and all the things that go on because you have your phone, you have it on your computer, you have it anywhere you go. You can do that anytime you want. They know that. They put forth that. And they try to entice you with that by, if you gamble so much, we'll match so much, or we'll do this or we'll do that. And they make it sound like it's fun, it's entertaining. And when it becomes an addiction, it's not so. So why do people gamble anyway? To win money or to chase a loss? Now, the reason why that to chase a loss is in there, once you become a gambler and you've been winning and all of a sudden you start losing, you want to win again, so you chase that loss to try to win again. And down the road you go. To experience the thrill and excitement of gambling, the bright lights and all the things that are there. To escape from stress, boredom, or problems in their life. To socialize with others or to fit in a group. To satisfy their brain's reward system. Everybody has this. I want you to pay attention for a minute. Different things make all of us tick differently. And you have a thing in your brain that's called dopamine. And when you're satisfied with something and it makes you happy, your brain releases dopamine. It makes you feel happy, smile, fun, all the other things, right? And the other one is the neurotransmitters in your brain. And all these things work together. So when I get into gambling or any other thing like that, and it pleases me and I really get enjoyment out of that, I get pulled into that more and more to try to make that happen again and again and again. And then what happens is, once that happens and we start losing, and it's no longer a happy thing, but a sad thing, it has a detrimental effect to your health. And on and on it goes. I want to talk a little bit about the odds of winning. The Powerball, which everybody talks about, is 1 in 292,201,338. Whoever figured that up, God bless them. The Mega Millions is 1 in 302,575,350. The chances of me getting struck by lightning is 1 in 240,000. Now, somebody can do the math. I didn't. How many times would you be struck by lightning before you'd win at the lottery? It is set up for you not to win, in case you haven't noticed. It is set up for someone to make a lot of money, and it's usually not you, and very few do. And we need to understand that, where we're at, and what the chances are of winning such things as this. Online betting, like I said, you can, anywhere you go, in the privacy of your home. 24/7. Nobody knows it, right? Nobody knows it until I'm sucked into this so far that I start losing what I have. I don't have enough money to pay the bills. My family is suffering. I have to mortgage the house. I have to file bankruptcy. And on it goes. It is not an innocent little thing that will not harm you. If not so, why is NFL putting so much time on their commercials right now and getting big name players to get on there to bet responsibly, to wager responsibly? And it has a little disclaimer down at the bottom about the odds of you winning are very few. This is for entertainment only. But it doesn't work that way, does it? If I can win a few dollars, and the next thing I know, I'm wanting to win more dollars and more and more and more, and the greed gets in there, and all the other things that happens with it, down that same road, you've got to be very careful. I want you to look at this slide here. Gambling addiction ranking by state. Nevada is the first one. They're the first one to legalize gambling after it was banned in all 50 states at one time. And they brought it back for the same reason I was talking about the 13 colonies in our country. When they first started up, they put out a lottery to put out there for people to buy tickets to try to win for infrastructure projects. Nevada was the same way. They got the bright idea that they would get all these tax dollars from gambling, and now we call it gaming because it sounds a lot better. And they put forth all that to get the big things were there. In Las Vegas, it's called Sin City for a reason, right? And now Las Vegas is not alone. We have many others that are following suit, chasing after that almighty tax dollar. And you see where West Virginia ranks, number 6. Yeah, we have a problem too, right? And it's an easy problem. If you have that type of personality that's one of them compulsive type personalities, you're going to be sucked into this a lot quicker than somebody else. Some people try to say, or use this attempt to justify gambling. Life is a gamble. It's just a gamble that you were born and you die. Well, it wasn't just by chance that you were born. You were created by God. And we know for certain that we were created by God, and we were put here to do His will. Over in Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter and verse 11, it says, I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift and the battle is not to the warriors, and neither is bread to the wise nor wealth to discerning nor favor of men of ability, for time and chance overtake them all. We're all subject to unforeseen things in this world, both favorable and unfavorable. And that's the way life is, and that's the way it always will be. And we need to understand that life is not a gamble. It was not something to set up that we don't know what the outcome of our life will be. We were set on this earth to worship a creator, to live our lives in the way he wants, and we know that we will die. We know what the end will be. And we will face the judgment, and we'll give account of how we've lived this life. It is not a gamble. And others try to say, well, farming is a gamble. Over in Genesis 8 and 22, it says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and the night shall not cease. The farmer is not seeking to gain at the expense or through the loss of another. When they gain, we all gain because we all have something to eat. When they fail, we all fail. In gambling, I'm wanting to get something over on you so I can take what you have so it's mine. Over in Psalms 104:14, it says, he causes grass to grow for the cattle and the vegetables for the labor of man so that he may bring forth food from the earth. God has set this process in place. You remember Adam in the Garden of Eden and how he got in trouble and when they sinned, him and Eve, and he was to work and to produce by the sweat of his brow. And he was going to bring forth fruit from the earth, and there were going to be thorns and thistles and things like that that's going to cause all kinds of problems, and you're going to have to work at it to have what you want. Farmers is a very difficult job. It's a hard job. It is one that takes a lot of work and a lot of effort. Others try to say it is investing in the stock market. When you purchase stock, you have purchased something of value. You have purchased part of a company. And those that try to go down that road to justify their means for gambling try to make it as though, that, well, the stock market's a gamble. You can't tell what's going to happen, what's not going to happen. And the hopes of making money over time and can be a sound way to plan for the future. It may increase or decrease in value, and we all know that. Your profit is not at the expense of the other stockholders. If they lose, you lose. Everybody loses. If you gain, they gain. And over in Matthew, the 25th chapter in verse 16 and 17, Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 16 and 17, immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received 2 talents gained 2 more. See, there's nothing wrong with going out and working and do what you need to make a gain. There is a problem with gambling and the things that it does and what it causes for all the problems it is in the world. So think about that as we're going through this. Buying insurance, some try to say, is like gambling. Some attempt to say that it is that way. And over in 1 Timothy 5:8, over in 1 Timothy 5 and 8, it says, but if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever, or the King James Version says, an infidel. So we have to provide for our own. I can give you testimony from my own family of people that have ruined their lives by gambling. And have got pulled into that and have suffered greatly for it. And still wanted to gamble. The buyer and the company both gain by the purchase of the policy. The company makes a profit on the investment of the premiums. The insured has their loss covered in the event of a loss occurs. So both is a win-win game. Now we're going to come to the part here, is gambling addictive? The experts estimate that there is between 2 to 4% of the population that is addicted to gambling. And I looked at it, different places I've read about this, and it's anywhere from 2 to 4%, 2% are addicts, and 2 more% are on the verge of being addicts, and all the things that goes along with it. That means, if you just go with the population we have today, that means that we have between 6,800,000 and 13,600,000 addicted to gambling. Experts estimate the cost of gambling per addict at $14,000 to $22,000 per year. That is the cost of all the things that they get into to try to make all this happen. At an annual estimated cost of $49 billion to about $98, I put 96, but it's $98 billion. There is cost associated with being addicted to gambling. There are consequences with being addicted to gambling. And we need to understand that. Is gambling covetousness? Covetousness is where I want what you have, and I'm going to do what I need to do to get what you have. So it's mine. And you think about that when I'm playing cards or whatever else I'm doing, and there's wagers made and there's a pile of money there, and I want that money, and you put the money in there, I want it because I've got a chance to win it. And I don't care about you because I want it for me. That is covetousness. Over in Exodus 20 and 17, it says, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. And over in Deuteronomy 5 and 21, it basically says the same thing. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, and you shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, and his male servant, or his female servant, his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Thou shalt not covet, and the whole list of things that we have talked about there. And at the end it says, or anything that he has or she has. Is gambling covetousness? Over in Romans 13 and 9. For this you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. Is there any other commandment that is summed up in saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself? You shall not covet. I don't want what you have to the point that I'm going to do something unjustly to make that happen. I'm not going to do anything to you but good. And in this gambling society we live in, and I see it getting worse and worse and worse, and I'm very grateful that it wasn't around when I was growing up. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Please tell me how you being the winner and them being the loser shows that I love my neighbor. Does gambling violate the law of love? In Matthew 7 and 12, it says, in everything, therefore, treat people the same way that you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. Treat others as you would have them to treat you. Would you want people to take a pile of money from you? Probably not, right? And speaking of that, and I started to bring some of it, but there's such a long list of those people that have lost, and testimonials online of people that were great gamblers and have lost, and how their life has ended. Get online sometime and read that, and you will be humbled like I was. The one guy had won over $20 million in his life, and at the age of 42, he died in a hotel room by himself, broke. For you see, he had just won over $1 million on a card game. And at the same time, it says that he lost $2 million on the ponies. Matthew 22 and verse 37 starting. It says, and he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets, or hang the law and the prophets. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Somewhere in our society, we're going to have to learn that gambling is not a good thing. And it preys on our young people when they're on younger ages, from in their late teens into their 20s, to try to hook them into this. And young men are the highest number, I hate to tell you. But women are also pulled into this. Is gambling contrary to biblical principles, earning wages? Over in Ephesians 4 and verse 28, 4 and 28, he says, "Who steals must steal no longer when he becomes a Christian, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has in need." I've known several gamblers in my lifetime. And I haven't known a one that was a winner when they died. And over in Matthew 20, verses 1 through 15, which Donnie already read, it talks about these people that come and work in a vineyard and they're paid wages and they're agreed to those wages. And at the end of the day, they're paid those wages for the work that they have performed. The gambler does not offer labor in exchange for what he receives or she. The biblical principles of earning wages for what we do. Is gambling a fair exchange through commerce? There's a couple examples over in Matthew 13, 44 through 46. And it talks about two things. In verse 44, it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." And then in verse 45, again, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it." See, these two went about it the right way. And they went and purchased what they needed, and they went about it the right way through the fair exchange of commerce. Does gambling bear good fruit? In Matthew 12:33, Matthew 12 and verse 33. So as you're thinking and contemplating about whether I should gamble or not, I want you to think about one thing with me as we go through all this. How many people do you know in your lifetime that's got tied up in gambling and the suffering that they went through and end up in their families? And to understand the very importance of that as what is going on in this text here. So understand that that's not the right verse. So I've messed up somewhere, so I'm sorry. But it talks about the good tree and the good fruit, and I think that was maybe over in Luke. But anyway, about a good tree brings forth good fruit, and a bad tree brings forth bad fruit. And I apologize for that. But there's nothing good about gambling. I don't care. Who wants to fight that argument? You'll lose over time. And there's a lot of proponents for gambling that would say that I was wrong, and I'm telling you wrong, and it's good for everybody. But history repeats itself. The early colonies got so corrupt with their lotteries that Queen Anne from England had to step in, and some of the horse race wagers, people were wagering everything they had and losing everything they had and getting in the middle of it. Two, Louisiana, and in that area, the lotteries got so corrupt that they had to shut them down and outlaw them because of the corruption. Now we have the works of the flesh that are going on here, and the things that goes along with the works of the flesh and all the things that are happening here, and we need to understand that in Galatians 5, 19 through 21. I found it. So think about this. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousies, outbursts of angers, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, and drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If we're honest with ourselves, gambling falls right in there. And we try to make it, we can put any kind of skin we want on it and all the things that are going on. You saw the numbers of the lottery and the chances of winning. Those slot machines and things like that can be manipulated to whatever they want. But it's usually about a 15 to 1 ratio. You win one out of every 15 times, depending on where you're at. So who's it stacked for, you or for them? Understand that. Final thoughts. The odds are stacked against you. You're not meant to be the winner. Many have suffered greatly while gambling. Some have lost their wealth. Some have lost their spouse. Some have lost their children. Some have lost their job. And some have lost all. Suicide rate among gamblers, big time gamblers, is pretty high. The love of money. It says the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So no matter how you look at this, the last thing I saw online getting ready for this was that the gambling business made around $90 billion. A record for them after paying all expenses. If we have 4% that are addicted to gambling and it cost us $98 billion, where are we winning? Please understand this. I love you all. I care about all of you. I don't care whether it starts out with whatever starts out in your life and it ends up where that. You can all change. I can change. Anybody can change. For you see, it is a requirement in most states to have something like this on any billboards or any commercial that is on TV because gambling addiction is so bad. Gambling as a word is not mentioned in the Bible, but the practices sure are. I hope if you've got tangled up in this that you understand that there's people like this that can help you before it's too late. And you can turn your life around and get away from those things which cause so much pain and so much suffering. I don't care what kind of argument a loved one puts forth for you, is because they love gambling and they want to gamble. Seen it, been there, seen them talk about it. And I've seen them lose, and I've seen them suffer for it. And that was before all the things we have today. You will not escape that, nor will I, if we get tangled up in gambling. And you'll be surprised what your religious friends and neighbors think about gambling. For we all know that it is an evil that will corrupt our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, if we're not very careful. So if you're with us this morning and you need prayers for anything, we invite you to come forward and make that known. And if you need help, please call the number. Those people are more specialist than I ever will be. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you need to understand one thing. We are created beings. We are created for a purpose, and that is to serve God. God puts the plans in motion, and we have to follow those plans. Understand that and make sure that we are following what God wants us to do. And when we fall, God will forgive us if we pray to Him and understand that we have to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized to wash away our sins. And then after that, pray to God to forgive us for the sins that we repent of and change our ways. Gambling is one of those things that I've seen firsthand that is very difficult to give up. It's painful for the participants in it, their families. And I plead with you to understand that there will be no good outcome from this and the way it's going. May God be given the glory in all things. So if you're with us and you need help in any way, please come forward as we stand and sing number 294.